Morning, Grace. Today I'm going to be reading from Mark 1, 40 through 45, where Jesus heals the leper. Can everybody hear me? No? Yes? Okay. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will. Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter.
Well, in the tropical, beautiful islands of Hawaii, there's actually a small island called Molokai. And on the north side of the island, there's a small peninsula called Kalaupapa. And amidst all of the joys of Hawaii and the tropical beauty, this peninsula is actually the site of a pretty sad and ugly history. It's a true story that, in fact, over 8,000 people were rounded up from the surrounding islands and transported by boat to Kalaupapa, where they were shoved off the boats into the sea and left to either fend for themselves or die. How could this happen? What is this? Why would people do this to other people? And the answer has to do with our passage here today. It was leprosy. Kalaupapa was a leper colony, and people would be taken there at the first sight of the disease so they could live alone, separated from society, separated from their communities, separated from the people they loved, because they had this disease. And so as we come to our passage here today, as Jesus encounters a leper through what happens in this story, Mark is going to teach us something about Jesus. And he's going to teach us something about us. So let's look at what he writes here in Mark chapter 1, verse 40. But before we do that, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you teach us through it, that you shape us and even conform us to the image of Christ through it. Would you be with us this morning? Guide us. Show us your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. And a leper came to him. And so the first thing we see is that Mark identifies this man as a leper. Now, back then, leprosy was actually an umbrella term. It referred to many, many different types of skin disease. And so this man would have had one of those diseases. And what's important for us to see here is that in the Old Testament days, in the Jewish law, someone who had leprosy was actually considered unclean. You saw that word when it was read earlier. Lord Jesus, you can make me clean. Well, what's going on there? You see, in the Old Testament, ceremonial laws about cleanness were given to Israel immediately after they left Egypt from slavery. Okay, they're a brand new nation. They're just starting out. And what separates them from every other nation on the planet is one thing. It's actually one person, one being. It's God himself. And God, the holy, the omnipotent, the omniscient God, is actually going to dwell in their midst. And that is actually an incredible blessing. I mean, think about what it would be like to have the presence of God dwelling in your midst, but it also creates a problem. And the problem is this: how can a holy God dwell amongst a sinful people? How can people who sin against God dwell with the God who is holy and absolutely pure? And so what they did was God gave them the ceremonial law, which was all about cleanness, so that you couldn't come to his presence. You couldn't approach him in a state of uncleanness, because then you would defile the place. Okay, and many, many things, well, not many things, a few things were described as unclean. And if you were to touch something that was unclean, then you yourself would be considered unclean. And you couldn't go near the presence of God at all. You had to be outside of the camp, outside of society. And leprosy, this term, these skin diseases, was one of those things. And if I've just put half of you to sleep with laws about cleanliness and Old Testament history, hear this, okay? Leprosy meant two very, very important things back then, okay? It meant separation from the dwelling place of God. Separation from God. And naturally, when you're separated from the camp, you can't be around other people. It meant separation from other people too. So this man who's called a leper here, he's been forced to live outside of society. He's been separated from where Israel would come to worship their God in the synagogue, in the temple. He can't go there. He's been separated. And because of that, he's been separated from people as well. So that's what we're meant to see here in this first part of Mark. I want to give you the context here just so you get a sense for what it was like. Okay, this is from the book of Leviticus, chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. It says, "The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose and shall cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." Can you picture the separation? He can't approach where God is worshipped. He can't approach his own people outside. No family, no friends. Leprosy meant separation from God and from people. And coming back to Hawaii now, this actually wasn't so different. Okay, the people on the different islands, at the first sign of leprosy, they would be rounded up. They would be taken on a boat. They would be taken to Molokai, and they would be shoved off. Separation, cut off from family and friends and life, everything they knew and loved. They'd be separated. So this man here that Jesus comes to, he is separated from that. He's been out in remote places, outside of the town. And as long as his leprosy persists, he can't have any contact with society. No more social fellowship. And what's even more important, no more spiritual fellowship. He can't worship with them. He can't praise God with them. He has to be out alone. And what, although he may have technically been alive, an Old Testament scholar named R.K. Harrison puts it like this: "This existence was nothing more than a living death." That was his condition. His leprosy meant separation from God. But somehow, he heard about Jesus. The previous two verses show that Jesus was going through towns and synagogues preaching and casting out demons. People are hearing the good news. They're hearing about him. And the word is spreading. And so this man had heard about him, and he goes to Jesus. And going, he found him. He thinks, if there's ever a chance for me to be made well again, then this is it. And he goes up to Jesus, and understandably, in complete deference, the verse says, imploring him, kneeling before him, he said, "If you will, you can make me clean." And then verse 41, it says, "Moved with pity." And now when we hear pity, you might think about a little puppy or something who's like whining because he wants a treat. That is not what this word means. Okay, this word pity, it means to be deeply moved with compassion. It's like when you see something that actually moves you, so you feel it in your gut. It's so moving that it actually moves your insides. That's what this word means. Jesus uses this word again in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. This is the parable of the lost son, sometimes the prodigal son. You may know the story, okay? The son takes his inheritance, and he abandons his family. He leaves his father, never to return. He squanders his living in wild living. He squanders his wealth in wild living. And then he realizes he's hit rock bottom. He needs to go back. So he humbles himself and he turns around and he goes home. And when the father sees him in the distance, he doesn't have anger towards him. Not bitterness, not resentment. It says he feels compassion for him. That's the same word. Okay, and he welcomes him home. He celebrates his return and he actually has a party to celebrate that the son is home. That's what this word means. It's not pity like a puppy. No, this is to be deeply moved with compassion. This is how Jesus responds to how this man approaches him. And then in verse 42, it says, read with me, and immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. I want you to notice a couple things here. The first is pretty obvious, right? Jesus just healed the leper. I mean, if you were an onlooker that day, if you had witnessed this, this would have been astonishing to you. The fact that Jesus had the power to heal this man with a potentially deadly skin disease. Number one, a miracle. Clear as day. But the second thing is just as astonishing, maybe even more. Verse 41, it says that Jesus stretched out his hand and he touched him. And I just look at this and I think, okay, Mark is writing this. He could have just said he touched him, but no, he says he stretched out his hand. It's like he's saying, look, pay attention, look at this. He stretched out his hand and he touched a leper. And this is huge because in Jesus's day, there were at least two reasons to never ever touch a leper. Number one is obvious, you might actually contract the disease. Okay, this was risky. But number two is in the law, it was actually not okay to touch lepers. They were not supposed to touch lepers because that which was unclean, if you touched it, it would make you unclean. And that was a big problem. Leviticus chapter 5 stipulates, do not touch a leper. And so to illustrate this again, come back to the leper colony in Hawaii with me. Any sign of leprosy, the people are shipped off. No more contact with people. Separation from society. And for Israel, separation from their God. But Jesus has compassion on him. He comes to him. He kneels before him. He implores him, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus touches him. If there was any ever question, if Jesus cares for our afflictions, if he cares for what people are going through, let his compassion prove to you that he does. He has compassion on the man, and he touches him, and he heals him. And can you imagine for a second with me? Imagine being this person. Your life, if we could call it that, you're alone, you have a terrible disease, you can't go and see people, you can't come and worship, you can't do anything. And then, in an instant, you're made well. In an instant, you've gone from infected to healed. You've gone from sick to well. You've gone from excluded to included. You've gone from cast out to brought in. You've gone from broken to whole, from unclean to clean. Imagine his reaction as in an instant, his whole life is transformed. I mean, think of the family and friends he would have had to have left. He's probably just, he can't wait to go and find them and tell them of what happened to him. He was sick and then he met Jesus and he touched him and he made him well. That's what we would expect, right? And that's what makes the next verse that much more surprising. Look at verse 43 with me. It says, and Jesus sternly charged him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer for cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. Say nothing to no one? I mean, this man's life has just been transformed. He was separated from society, now he's brought in, separated from family and friends, and now, just as he's about to be able to have everything that everyone else associates with life itself, now he can't tell anyone about it? I mean, what's going on here? If you remember last week, we introduced this theme of secrecy in Mark's gospel. Okay, this theme, it pops up over and over again. Last week, Jesus casts out demons and he prevents them from telling anybody who he is because they knew him. Here, he's just cleansed a leper and he says, don't tell anyone about it. Okay, later on, he's going to do this again and again. And it's like, why? Why is he doing this? Just when we would expect him to tell them, to let their eagerness to share the good news just drive them to tell as many people as possible. No, he's tamping the lid down. What's he doing here? Well, I want to think about it together. So it's going to help us to grasp this passage and to grasp Scripture together. There's a few different possibilities for why Jesus might be doing this. And so the first one, it might be religious, right? We talked about the law. The law stipulated that lepers had to be outside of the camp, outside of the town. But this man came near. And he didn't just come near to Jesus, he came right up to him. It seems like he's defying the law. And then Jesus actually touches the man, something you would never expect a teacher to do. So is he coming against the law of God? It's a fair question, right? But then you look at verse 44 and you see that Jesus commands this man to go and do exactly what the law required for lepers who had been cleansed to do. He's in full accordance with the law. So that can't be the reason. Well, what about practical reasons? Look at the very next verse, verse 45. This is what happens because the man talks. It says, but he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but he was out in desolate places and people were coming to him from every quarter. The word is spreading like wildfire and people are flocking to him. It's making his job harder. So maybe the reason is he doesn't want this man to speak about it because it's gonna cause challenges for him. It's going to be harder to do his job. But then you think about it and you're like, well, he's already been around crowds, right? And he's going to be around even bigger crowds. Remember when he feeds the 5,000? Yeah, that's coming up. And then later on, the 4,000. Jesus is no stranger to crowds. So it can't be the pragmatic reasons then. So what is it? Well, there's another reason that I want to consider together, and it's not religious, and it's not pragmatic. It's what we could call the missional consideration. We touched on this last week, and we're seeing it again here, that Jesus silenced the demons and tells them not to speak. He heals this man and tells them not to talk. He's doing others to do the same. Why? He doesn't want people to misunderstand his mission. Jesus came with authority. Authority to heal, authority to cast out demons, to cleanse lepers, and even, as we'll see later, to raise the dead. Authority unlike any man who's ever lived before or since. No question about it. He came and he did miraculous things. But the miraculous was not his primary purpose. He wanted to keep the lid on because he wanted people not to miss what he was doing. If they only saw his miracles, they would end up missing his mission. And you know something? We can actually do the same thing. Okay, listen to this. We can read this passage and we can conclude, rightly, correctly conclude, that Jesus has the power to cure skin disease. And he does. And so we could read this passage and conclude that, and we could decide, you know what? What that means for us is that we need to respond to this. We need to thank God that he has the power to cure skin disease, and we need to pray that God would cure skin disease. And so you go home and you pray and you say, Lord Jesus, thank you that you have the power to cure skin disease. Please cure the skin disease of the world. Amen. And you know what? That is a genuine prayer. That is a good prayer. I would encourage you to pray that prayer. And if you have kids, pray that prayer with them. That's a perfectly fine prayer. But listen, if that is all we ever pray, then we have completely missed the mission of Jesus. Here's what I mean. Jesus didn't just come to heal the body. He came to save the soul. Do not miss his mission. And this is what is so beautiful about this passage. Please do not misunderstand me. This is a supernatural miracle that Jesus has just done. He has the power to cure skin disease. He has the power to take this leper in his disease and to make him whole again. We should thank and praise God for this. But remember who this man is. He's a leper. He's unclean. Jesus doesn't just heal him. In fact, the text doesn't even use the word healing. It uses the word cleansing. He's cleansed him so that the separation between him and God could be removed. He's been cleansed. He can come back. He can be in the spiritual community that worships God together once again. Jesus doesn't just heal. He removes the separation between us and God. Do not miss this, Grace Church. Jesus came to save sinners. He came to save sinners, which means that one day he will go, he will willingly go, though he's never done any wrong, though he's never committed any sin, he is completely innocent, yet he's going to suffer and he's going to die. He's going to do it to forgive, to redeem, to restore, and to save us. He is going to exchange his life for death. Why? So that we can exchange our death for life. Do you remember that quote I gave you from the Old Testament scholar R.K. Harrison? He said that having leprosy back then, it was like a living death. Well, watch this. In the beginning of our passage today, I want you to pay attention to the location. Okay, where is Jesus? Jesus is out in the towns and the synagogues. He is where people congregate. He is where the clean people are meant to be, right? And where's the leper? Well, he has to live outside of the town. He's out in the desolate places. He's out where the unclean people are supposed to be. But then this man hears about Jesus and he comes to him and he meets him and he makes this request of him, if you will, you can make me clean. And then he actually does. And then what happens? Where does that man go? He goes and he tells the people. That's where the clean people are supposed to be. And what about Jesus? Where does he go? To the desolate places. That's where the unclean are supposed to be. Now, we have to be careful here because I do not want you to misunderstand. The text never says that Jesus became unclean, and we should not say that. But when you look at these locations, it's like they switched places. Jesus was amongst the people, and the man was outside, and he was unclean. But then when he became clean, he could be amongst the people, and Jesus goes outside. There's a switching that takes place in this passage. And let me tell you something. A few years later, in Jerusalem, on a hill, on a cross, Jesus would absolutely, without a doubt, definitively switch places. Not with a leper, but with you and me. Jesus is going to go to the cross, and he's going to die for us. He's going to die instead of us, in place of us, to forgive us, to cleanse us, to remove the separation between us and God so that anyone and everyone who turns in faith to Jesus Christ will be saved and will be with God forever. This is the good news, Grace Church. And here's what we can do with it. Have we realized that we are just like the leper? I don't mean skin disease. Unclean. Separated from God. Why? Because of our sin. completely unable to cleanse ourselves. This man could do nothing about it. All he could do was go and fall on his knees before Jesus, receiving his grace. Do you realize the living death that it is to be in our sin and to stand before a holy God? Leprosy was like a living death. The uncleanness had to be cleansed. Our sin is death. It needs to be cleansed so that we can receive life. This is why Jesus came. I want to ask you a couple of questions. And I do this because I want you to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. Do you basically view yourself as a good person? Do you think, you know what? I'm not perfect, but I'm not so bad. You know, I'm no saint, but I'm no leper. I'm definitely better than that guy. I've done some good in my days. Hopefully enough for the big man upstairs to let me in. Do you think like that? Or maybe you don't think like that. Maybe you think the complete opposite of that. You know you're a leper. You look at your life and you see a string of failures, a string of mistakes, of sins. And you look at this and you think, how could God ever possibly love me? I'll never be good enough. I'm too far gone. And you know what? You're both wrong. It doesn't work like that with Jesus at all. You cannot be good enough. You cannot be bad enough. That's not why he came. Listen. Romans 5. This is the Holy Spirit working, because I did not talk with John Lanuza about him reading Romans 5 this morning, but I was planning to bring it up in our text right here, right now. Romans 5, chapter 8 says this: "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not because you were good, but because you were bad." 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous, that's him, for the unrighteous, that's us, to bring us to God." Jesus died and he rose again to bring us to God. Think of this leper. Nothing he could do would make him clean. He needed cleansing from Jesus, and nothing you or I can do will make us clean. We need to be cleansed by Jesus. And so if you are realizing today that you've never received this gift from God, this grace in Jesus Christ, then do what this man did. Fall on your knees before Jesus and receive his forgiveness. Receive his grace. Receive his eternal life. And then if you have received the grace of God in Christ, you realize that you are just like a leper, then let me ask you this. Are you still treating other people like lepers? When he was about 30 years old, a Belgian priest named Father Damien heard about Kalaupapa, the peninsula in Molokai, and he was moved with compassion. This man actually crossed the world to go and live there, to live amongst the lepers. And he devoted the rest of his life to caring for them. Not just caring for them, but teaching them, sharing them about the love of Jesus, the love that came for the outcast, the love that doesn't regard anybody as too far gone. He loved them, and he taught them, and he showed him the way of Jesus. And in the end, he actually contracted the disease himself, and he died. But he's remembered. And he's honored and he's celebrated because of what he did. He chose not to regard lepers as lepers. So how can we, if we know what we've been saved from, if we know the transformation that Jesus has given us, How can we ever treat anybody else without love, without grace? God extended his grace in Christ to you and to me. So we extend his grace in Christ to others. And you don't have to cross the world to do it like Damien did. Sometimes you just need to cross the room. Sometimes you just need to cross the office. Students here, sometimes you just need to cross the class or the hallway. Siblings, sometimes you need to cross the house. Spouses, who are we to treat people like lepers when we, the lepers, have received God's grace in Christ? I wonder if there's anybody in your mind who, if they had approached you like this man had approached Jesus, is there anybody that you would have felt an aversion to? That you would have resisted that touch? In our day and age, with the political landscape, maybe it's someone who votes different from you. Maybe it's someone who thinks different from you. Maybe it's someone who looks different from you, who lives in a different neighborhood from you. Maybe it's that team, that group, that clique, that squad. It's those kids. There's no place for it. Love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus said. We are the ones who have received God's grace in Christ. We have received his love. Now we are the ones called to share it. In the end, this man told people about Jesus. The time for secrecy is past. The time to make it known is now. People need to know who Jesus is, and he's called us to tell them. Grace Church, would we be a church that knows who we are? We are not good people. We are sinners saved by grace. We were unclean. We were lepers. We were hopeless. But then we met Jesus, and he cleansed us. And now we're called to be the ones who tell of the one who made us clean. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you came, that you took on flesh, that you dwelt among us, that you were a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. You knew exactly the pain and the hardship that real life on this earth brings to us. You entered into it that you might redeem it, Lord God, that you would redeem us. Thank you for going to the cross in our place, that any who turn to you in faith would be forgiven and freed and given this gift of eternal life in you. Now, Lord, help us to go out into this world, into our homes, our offices, our schools, our workplaces, God, with the love of Christ, sharing it with those who don't know. Would you give us strength, Lord God? In Jesus' name, amen.